The word today is God. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. The world is filled with views about who the true God is. Many cults and false religions have offered their own view. But it is not sufficient to worship a God. You have to know the true God. Hear from our archives to help us understand this important topic is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, God.
Today I want to talk about God, and I want to be very specific and clear about what I mean when I say God. I've been very troubled with the fact that people are starting to talk about universalism. Now, universalism means that it's okay to believe in any God just so long as you believe in a God. And, of course, that's utter nonsense. That's utter nonsense. When the Christian church talks about God, they're talking about one true God. They're not talking about all kinds of deities the way the Greeks and the Romans and some of the other historical nations of the world talked about deities. You know, there's a term polytheistic. The term polytheistic means that those people believe in many deities. They have a deity for fertility. They have a deity for peace. They have a deity for war. And the polytheistic people of the world, and there are fewer and fewer of them, thank goodness, but there still are many of those types of religions around. They believe that there's all kinds of deities. You remember that St. Paul, when he went to Rome, found that they had deities and statues and idols for all types of gods that they worshiped. And then the people there had thought, well, maybe we're forgetting one of the gods. And we better not forget him, because he'll be kind of jealous if we do. And so they had erected a statue, and they had titled it the Unknown God, as if to say, well, we're just making sure we haven't forgotten one along the way. And Paul used that as the entry point for his message. He said, I'm here to tell you about the God that you do not know, the Unknown God. I'm going to reveal him to you. Now, what's happening today, it seems to me, is that you have some people say, well, as long as you're monotheistic, meaning you believe in one God, you say there's one overall God, as long as you're monotheistic. Now, you see, the Jewish religion believes in a monotheistic God. The Islam religion believes in a monotheistic God. And the Christian religion believes there is only one God. So a lot of people have said, well, there you are. Those three must all go together because they must be worshiping the same God. Well, it would be wonderful if that's true, but it's not true. The Jewish people in their religion deny the deity of Jesus. They believe there's a Messiah still coming, and so they do not accept Jesus as true God. They do not accept the Holy Trinity. And as such, they are not worshiping the same God that the Christians are. And the Islam certainly do not worship the same God the Christians do. Very clearly, they even have a different name for God. They call him Allah, and they have all different types of studies and records and reports that they use to show that what they believe in is totally different than what the Christian church believes in. Now, when somebody comes along and says, well, I don't think it matters what you call God, and I don't think it matters what name you give him, and I don't think it matters, you know, how you think he handles things or how you're going to be saved, as long as you believe in a God, that's good enough. Now, that's known as universalism. That means that everyone has a chance to be saved just by believing something. If you believe it firmly enough and you act according to it and you try to be a good person and so on, you're going to be saved, because God isn't going to be so restrictive as to say, no, you have to know my son Jesus Christ, and only through him are you saved. But that is precisely what the true God has done. God has said, I will not accept anyone else's view of God as though it's the same as me. And I will not accept someone who is trying to earn their way to heaven by how good they are and the many good things they do. Regardless of how good they are, they cannot forgive their own sin. And there's only one hope for anyone who is living in this world, and that is that their sin be forgiven. And there's only one forgiver of sin, and that's the true God. And he did it in a way he chose to do it, by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior by dying for us on the cross. And only through him can you have the forgiveness of sins. And therefore, only through him can you have the gift of salvation. Now, I want to take this a step further to help everyone understand what it is I'm saying. When the Bible discusses the knowledge of God, who is the true God, there are two categories that it usually refers to whenever you're discussing God in the Holy Scriptures. One we refer to as a natural knowledge of God. Now, the natural knowledge of God is something that every human being has. This is why, if you talk to the hardest-hearted unbeliever, they will still probably agree, well, if there is a God, he must be pretty sharp. He must be very, very brilliant. Look at how he created the seasons. Look at how he created the planets, and the planets all rotate. Everything stays in its place. Look at how it rains when the crops are needing rain. Look at how the camouflage in different animals look almost like the habitat and the brush that they live in and so on. You can hardly spot them. Okay, someone would say, well, God must be a very wonderful God to let the animals have an escape mechanism there so that, and even if you believe in the Darwinian theory, which, by the way, very few people believe in anymore, because it's been proven so utterly incorrect. But if you believe something like that, that God lets the fittest survive, and that this animal eats that animal in order to survive, and this insect is eaten by this animal, and blah, 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 and on, it still shows wisdom. It still shows that this God is very sharp and knows what he's doing. Now, you can have a natural knowledge of God and still not be saved, obviously. Because the natural knowledge of God doesn't tell you about Jesus. You can look at a beautiful tree, and you can see that's a beautiful tree, and look at the fruit it bears and so on. What a wonderful tree, and look how it grows and how it matures. You can know a lot about God by looking at a tree or a thunderstorm. You can see his power and so on. But that does not tell you about Jesus and does not tell you how God saves people. So the natural knowledge of God are where all these false religions and cults come from. They think that they have an insight into God because they've learned certain of the attributes of God. He is wise. He is powerful. He is strong. He is intelligent and so on. Well, you can know all those things and still not know the way of salvation, because there's only one way to be saved, and that has to be revealed to you. This is the second way you can know God, by the revealed nature of God. He has given us his word. He has given us the Holy Scriptures, his word. Now, immediately some people are going to say, well, the Bible is simply the Christians' record of how they believe in God. And they're going to say, well, the other religious books, the books of Islam, the books of all the different cults are similar. No, no, they are not. And if you want to study it, all you need to do is take some time and you will see how unique the Bible is. It was written over a span of 1,600 years. It wasn't just put together by a committee or by one person who says he has a revelation and that he knows the truth now. It was written over 1,600 years by at least 36 different authors that God used in order to record the message he wanted his people to receive. And when you think of that, and when you then begin to look at the 66 books, documents that make up the Holy Bible, and realize that they do not contradict each other, that they are in total agreement, you can see how clearly this is such a unique book that God had to give it, God had to more or less dictate it, if you understand the use of that word, to those that were writing the Holy Scriptures, and that he preserved it and kept it through all the different translations handed down generation after generation, and that we have it now in our language as well as the many languages around the world that it's been translated into, and is the true Word of God. And the power that God puts into that Word is the power to convert, the power to transform lives, the power to bring people to Jesus Christ and find in Him their personal salvation. So, forget about this universalism. That's simply a way the world is trying to get people to come together. It's futile. In order to save somebody, the God you worship has to be the true God. You can have a lot of conviction, and you can have a false God that you're worshiping with all your heart, and you can give Him gifts, and you can pray to Him, and you can even die holding on to the fact that you think He's going to save you. Well, if it's a false God, He has no power to save you. And that is precisely what's going to happen to all the people who do not know the true God. That's why God wants every Christian to be a witness to the world. That's why we have these broadcasts. We want to reach everyone with the knowledge there is one true God. He is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit referred to in the Bible, and He sends us His message. And His Son, Jesus Christ, came to this earth to die in our place. Through His suffering, death, and resurrection, we have the gift of forgiveness, and therefore, through Him, we have the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.